Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. Now, here's Pastor Mo.
At this time, as we get ready to go into the Word of God, we're beginning our series on the Great Controversy, a three-part series on the Great Controversy. Today, we're going to look at the enemy of souls. And then the next Sabbath, we're going to see how to overcome the enemy by the grace of God. And then lastly, we will talk about victorious living, staying victorious because there is a place in heaven for you. Let's have a word of prayer as we dive into the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you do. We're reminded, for many of us, how time goes so fast. And we want to pray for those who have finished school, those who are about to start again with school, and those of us who are in the school of life. We ask, Father, that we would all make it to our heavenly kingdom. Please be with us as we go through the Word of God. May it be the Word of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of today's exhortation is The Great Controversy, Sweet Dreams. How many of you like good dreams? Oh, I tell you, I like good dreams. I remember once I was dreaming so well that when I woke up, I was not pleased. Dreams are good, and we have a heaven to win. A heaven that is real, better than anything the Bible tells us that we can imagine. But the devil also has a dream for you, and it's called a nightmare. And the devil is working harder than any time before, and today it is very important for us to understand what is he doing, how does he operate, and how will he get, according to the book of Revelation, a majority of the world to go against God. How does he operate? The first thing that is intriguing about the devil is that the devil doesn't have a name in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, the first time we encounter the devil is found in Genesis, when man encounters the devil here upon the earth. It is in Genesis chapter 3. And the first thing he said, go with me to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. For the sake of time, we're going to go fast, but I hope you can mark down the verses as we talk about the enemy and what is he doing. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. We're introduced there to a character that says, he says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" This is the first introduction to this nefarious individual. The Bible names him as Satan, but Satan is not a name. The devil is not a name. It is a title, as we shall see. There he is, and he is a dangerous foe. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that the name Satan is a title for an accuser. Jesus, when talking about him in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, he called him Satan. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 28, he calls him an enemy. He is an enemy. As you know, the word Satan is not a personal name. It is the title, and the title is Arch Opponent, the adversary of everything that is good. The adversary of everything that is good. In Scripture, Satan does not have a name, for he has no character worthy of a name. He is known in Isaiah before he fell. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 15. This was the title that he had before he fell. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. In there, the Bible calls him this name. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 14. If you're there, if you could say good amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says this. How are you fallen from heaven? Oh, what is his name? Lucifer, son of the morning. As a matter of fact, Lucifer is also a title. Lucifer means son of the morning. If you look in all the Bible translations, such as the NASB, it does not even have the name Lucifer. His title is son of the morning, meaning light bearer. In the Hebrew, the word there is helhel, or helel, meaning light. Translated often today, we use it through the King James as Lucifer. He has no personal name that we know of, but we know from the Word of God that he's a fallen angel, the arch enemy of everything that is good. Satan, we know, began in heaven, and there in heaven, iniquity was found in his heart. And who did he want to be like? Well, he wanted the power of God, but he did not want the character of God. So he has no name, for he has no character. He is an accuser. And today we're going to see some of his activities. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 2. We're going to look at two verses pertaining to his activities. Zechariah chapter 3. Verse 1 to verse 2. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 2. The Bible continues. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. It says, then he showed me Josiah, who was, what was Josiah's role? He was the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And who was found there as well? Satan. Standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? In there, in the book of Zechariah, we see one of the first activities or one of the main activities that Satan does. Josiah is there praying to God, interceding as high priest for the people of God, but there's somebody who does not like what he's doing. So what does he do? He opposes him. In other translations, it says he accuses him. You could imagine what kind of accusation Satan might give against you. Or against me. He says, this one, or she, or he, you know, they profess to be a Christian, but do you know this? Do you know that? He does not deserve to be saved. Satan today is accusing you and I. And he's trying to tell God why you and I cannot make it to heaven. That is his primary role. He does not want you to be where? In heaven. He accuses the high priest. Notice there in verse 2, Jesus does not address the accusations of Satan. But notice what he says. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord do what to you? Rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked out from where? the fire. In there, we're led into a conversation between Jesus and Satan. It is a conversation that is probably happening right now between you, Satan, and Jesus. Satan says, you cannot make it. Jesus, this one is a sinner. And what does Jesus say? The Lord does what? Rebuke you. Isn't this a brand plucked out of the fire? Amen?
Number two, he's not only an accuser, and Satan really means an accuser, but he does something else. Go with me to John chapter 8 and verse 44. Remember, we're looking at the activities of Satan. One is that he's an accuser, but another one is very interesting. John chapter 8 and verse 44. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Jesus speaking says these words. He says, you are of your father the what? The devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. Now let's notice what the devil is. He was a murderer from when? From the beginning. And does not stand in the truth. Because there is, how much truth is there in Satan? No truth. In him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of what? Of it. Today it is interesting how much of the world is enamored with spiritualism. I remember one day just scrolling, trying to see what people are offering to children. Even innocent programs that you would think are innocent, depicting little farm animals.
One of the main characters in there decided that what she wanted to be was to be a witch. And all the kids laughed because it was funny, because now she's a witch. Halloween is coming up very soon, a couple months here. And people, little children, are already being taught that the spiritual world, things of devil, witches, and witchcraft, and all those things, are not that serious. You can laugh about them. You can dress up as one of them. You can watch them. You can talk about them. But do not be deceived, my friend. For the one who is behind it, the Bible says he was a murderer from when? The beginning. How does Satan murder? Very easily. He tries to take you away from your Savior. And then you're done. Let's not be deceived, friends. But the devil is not only attacking our children, he's also attacking our youth. I remember sitting one day in a class in college. I won't tell you what college it is, some of you might guess, but this teacher was not right. In a psychology class. And they were trying to present to us the fact that we knew better than the Word of God. That if you trust, if you have good methods of how to be rational, good methods of thinking, if you did all those things, that if you looked at the Word of God became to you an ancient book that is only relevant to an ancient culture. It's not relevant to you today. The ideas that it promotes are not good ideas. If you want to progress, you need to follow your own mind. For a while, I was deceived. And I accepted that. I lived my most miserable year that year, living without faith in God. But you know what? I realized who was behind that lie, and let's go back to our first text, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We have seen what are some of the activities of the devil. Number one, he's an accuser, correct? Number two, he is a murderer. And number three, He is a liar. How much truth is there in the devil? Zero truth. Zero. My friends, I want you to remember that. When the devil is trying to get you to do something bad, don't think that you'll be set free. He'll always enslave you. Because he's always has been a murderer from the beginning. It is interesting to see, and we're going to spend a little bit of time here, the sequence, how he gets us to follow his deception. In there, we'll look at Satan's greatest lie, Genesis chapter 3, and let's begin in verse 1. He has not changed much from the garden. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" What is the first thing that Satan does when he introduces you to a lie? Does he say, "I am lying"? The first thing that he does is that he pokes at your doubt. Did God really say? I know you heard it. I know you've seen it in the Word of God. I know you've sang it in church. I know you know it's the truth. But did God really mean what he said? If Satan is able to get you to doubt, and you keep doubting, he has an entering wedge into your heart. So he moves to the next phase. Eve now, who has never known sin, lived in a perfect world, is starting to question, did God really mean what he meant? So, thus far, she has not yet sinned. She's just thinking. So he goes to the next phase, verse 2. "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden.'" Praise the Lord. Eve is starting to speak some faith. She says, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." But verse 3, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you do what?" At this point, Eve is preaching to the devil. Amen? The devil says, "Hey, did he really say that?" And then Eve says, "This is what the Lord said." Amen. You preach, sister. But the devil is a deceiver. He says, "Okay, you'll bring me the word of God? Let's go to the second phase." So he says in verse 4, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will do what? You will not surely die.'" It is interesting that in the beginning phase, he did not contradict God. He said, "Did God really mean what he said?" But in the second phase, after Eve throws at him the word of God, he says, "No, you will not die." You see what the devil does whenever he's trying to get us? He tries to affirm our doubts. And he tries to weed into us a belief that he knows better. That you know better. It is interesting, when you're a teenager, you think you've figured out the world. And then when you hit 20, you start to see that there are some things about life that are not as easy. And then when you hit 30, you start to be like, "Man, I don't know much." And then I guess you go to 40 and so forth, and you realize that there's a lot of things to learn in life. But it's interesting how the devil already trying to tell us that you know better. You know better. God has said this, you throw at me the word of God, but guess what? You're not going to die. You're not going to die. And in verse 5, he goes for the hook. In verse 5, he says, "For God knows
that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be what, my friends? Will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil.
So number one, what did the devil do? He says, did God mean really what he meant? Number two, Eve combats it with the word of God. And he says, no, you will not die. And then he goes for the lie that is still working today.
And this is what he says to you and I. He says, God is withholding from you something that is good. God is withholding from you something that is good, that is better for you.
You know it. We say, well, Lord, this relationship is great, but I know it's not according to your word. And God, why are you doing this? You're withholding something that is good for me. And then what happens? You can tell me, my friends. Things don't end up good. We make choices in our jobs, in our careers. We say, well, I know what God says, but maybe He's withholding. If I follow the world, maybe there's going to be something better for me. It's the same lie the devil gave in the garden. He said, no, God is trying to withhold from you because of the day that you eat of this fruit, what will happen to you?
You will be like God.
My friends, I'm about to land this plane here. When the devil comes your way, especially the young ones, and he tells you that the life outside of the church is better than life inside the church, say, get thee behind me, Satan. There's no truth in you. The only thing that you're going to lead me to do is you're going to get me murdered. That's where Satan is heading. He was a murderer from when, my friends? From the beginning. Now Eve is going through a struggle. She knows what the Word of God says. But the Satan has affirmed her doubt that maybe there's something better out there. So now Satan goes to close the deal. And notice what he does in verse 6. Now, Eve is not interacting with Satan anymore. But she's interacting with something that is even stronger sometimes. And she's interacting with her senses. So it says, so that when the woman saw that the tree was what, my friends?
Good for food.
That it was pleasing to the what?
To the eyes.
And a tree desirable to make one what?
Wise.
It is interesting, the devil is a smart guy. It is interesting, he did not offer, well, for some of us, he did not offer Eve a spreadsheet filled with numbers. Eve, you know, just memorize these numbers, and if you memorize these numbers, you're good. He did not present her with a fruit that looks yucky. He did not present Eve with something that looked displeasing to the eyes. Notice what the Bible says. As she saw there, the tree was good for what, my friends?
For food.
And it was pleasant to the what? Isn't the devil today getting us through our senses? We know what the Word of God says. We might even know that if we're following this track, we're not going to make it. But boy, he knows how to get our senses. And as Eve keeps looking at that tree, keeps desiring the fruit, keeps longing for it, the Bible says she took of its fruit, and what happened? And she ate. But you know, the problem with sin is that sin is never singular. It always affects somebody else. So as she consumes the fruit, the Bible says she also gave to her husband with her. And what did he do? He ate. That day, murder was committed.
Because Jesus had told them that if they were to eat of this tree, they will surely do what? Die. Now, did Adam and Eve die that day? But who took the penalty of death that day? Jesus Christ accepted the fact that he would have to be murdered one day for you and I. In short, my friends, do not play with the devil. Do not be deceived with the devil. Do not think that there is a better life outside of Jesus Christ. Do not think that there is more truth outside of the Word of God. Do not think that there is a better way, that the broad and the highway of life is better than the narrow way. It is better to walk with God than to dance with the devil. In closing, Jesus gives us hope. I got to leave you with hope as we end. There are two verses we'll look in rapid fashion. John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Remember, today we're looking at the enemy. John chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, "The thief does not come except to steal," referring to Satan, "and to kill and to destroy." Haven't we seen that? But Jesus says, "I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more," what, my friends? Abundantly. Amen? There's a murderer out there, but there is a Savior who can raise us from the dead. Our last verse, John chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus gives this hope. John chapter 14, verse 1 to verse 4. John chapter 14, verse 1 to verse 4. The Bible says it this way. John chapter 14, verse 1 to verse 4. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for who, my friends? For you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And verse 4, "And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." My friends, who is that way? It is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Greater is he who is with you than he who is in the world." Is it your desire today to say, "I don't want to follow Satan, but I want to follow Jesus Christ"? If that's your desire, why don't you stand with me as we pray together? And as we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, that if there is anything in our lives today that the devil is deceiving us by, may the Lord rebuke him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today we have seen that there is an enemy of souls. In Revelation, it tells us he will deceive the whole world. But today, Father, we want to stand in the banner of Jesus Christ. And we ask, Father, that you will shield us from the evil one, and that we will have our faith rested upon Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit him every Saturday at 1601 Nichols Road in Kalamazoo, Michigan at 11 a.m. or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.